From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 698, Database Administration During a Crisis with guest Brent Ozar. Recorded Friday, May 1st, 2020. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brendan. This is Richard Campbell, and this is the Pandemic Series on Run As Radio. My guest today is Brent Ozar, who makes SQL Server go faster. He loves teaching, travel, and laughing. He lives in California with his wife, Erica, and blogs at brentozar.com, a blog I read regularly and retweet periodically, too, because he gets some great stories in there. Not a lot of traveling going on right now, friend.
No, there is not. I was in the midst of a month-long vacation in Iceland. You know, had been really been looking forward to that for forever. And boy, once this hit, all you know, back onto home base. That was pretty much the end of that.
Although, you know, Iceland's an interesting choice. A small place, technologically advanced. They got on top of the pandemic really quickly. It must have been tempting to even stay.
Yeah, it really was. You know, especially looking at the news out of there, they were proactively testing the citizens. They had enough testing kits where we could actually have gone and gotten tested. We just didn't want to go near people.
Yeah, for obvious
reasons. And then there was also the problem of if I go get in a plane, I'm running the gamut of the airports. You know, am I going to catch something while I'm traveling around the world? And I have asthma, so that makes things trickier as well. I'm like, well, I'm a little bit more susceptible here, so I guess I got to kind of pay attention.
You got to be careful. Well, I'm glad you're home and safe. And
good to be home, and you as well. You as well.
Yeah, I'm good to be home and connect with family too. Like it's surprising how much that's all mattered in the past
couple of months. And continuously checking in on people, you know, of course, because you never know when someone's going to get sick. A friend of mine lost his wife to COVID-19, and that really made it real for us, that just really touching base and saying, sending a lot of cards and saying thank you. That was really wide open.
Here's that.
Eye-opening.
Carl Quinn was the one of the co-hosts of Java Posse, which is the equivalent of .NET Rocks. Way at the beginning of podcasting, but it was working with Java, and COVID-19 got him too. So we toasted for him, and his wife is trying to survive and dealing with all the challenges of that.
But it takes,
young man, you know,
takes you by surprise. It's just not something that we would ever have expected, that something like that would strike so quickly and hit so many folks.
Yeah, absolutely. That, and in part of, I'm thinking about databases and thinking like, isn't the demand going to go down? Like, what are you seeing out in the world? Are databases busier or quieter?
For the longest time, I know a lot of database pros who said it doesn't really matter what the business does.
Right.
What matters is how the application patterns are inside the database.
Sure.
You know, that really affects more decisions that you make from performance tuning. But boy, howdy did that change. I mean, now suddenly it matters what your business does, because some businesses just completely close down. For example, one of my clients does scheduling for doctor's offices. Well, that simply evaporated. Their load disappeared. They didn't have to worry at all about performance tuning for a period of time. They could scale their bills way down if they were doing judicious management of resources. Then I've had other clients, and I always like to use the example of Microsoft Teams because everybody gets it. Teams isn't my client, but it's such a good example of all of a sudden everyone was using Microsoft Teams.
Right.
Like it went from something that I'd touched a couple of times to something that everybody was like, hey, can you jump into Teams and do this, this, and this?
Right. You're on it every day, several times.
Yes. Yes. So there are some businesses like that that had incredible scale needs right away. So for example, if you were doing scheduling of home deliveries or something, all of a sudden that just absolutely exploded.
Well, anything related to e-commerce, I got to imagine, is just, just jumped.
Yes. Anything doing online presence, anything involving remote work. So there were some of my clients just basically shut down, said, you know, we're going to take a breather for a few months until we figure it out. And other clients just out of nowhere said, we have to figure out how to scale 100x or 1000x in the next 48 hours. You know, it just has to happen. And so from a database perspective, it's rare that we see that kind of need.
Yeah,
it's just so different.
Well, and you can't provision hardware easily right now either. I mean, there's some gear out there, but there's a lot of distribution disruption too, especially for relatively rare items like a high-end server. I don't know that you could get one if you needed one.
No. And you know how it is with SQL Server. I mean, you can really go buy it. Say that there was limitless hardware available tomorrow. Sure. If you put in a server 10x bigger, you don't get 10x performance.
No, that doesn't work that way.
Yeah. You have locking problems, you know, concurrency issues, memory issues. So even if you had the ability, you know, some of the clients could spin up really large in the cloud, spinning out sideways sucks.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly scaling out your workloads vertically or horizontally is just painful. So that was a real big challenge for some of the DBAs at clients is how do I go from thinking about one query at a time, thinking about what my top five or six queries were and how I'm gradually working on those to, oh my goodness, there is a flood of, you know, queries coming in the front door from every possible angle. How do I go up 10x, 100x, 1000x? Mm-hmm. That was dramatically different.
Do you dare re-architect or do you change loads? Like, what are solutions in those scenarios? Because you probably can't get the hardware and the hardware wouldn't save you anyway.
No, the big one that I really love looking at first is show me the queries that run the most often.
Right.
Because, you know, we can pull that pretty easily out of the plan cache. And then I immediately want to pivot to the developers and say, is there any way we could cache this?
Yes.
You know, I get that we've never used Redis before, we've never used Memcache, whatever. Just play with it. Go spend the next 4 hours seeing if you can put something in Redis and get it back out. And then anything that's a lookup table, a configuration table, things that don't need to be real time, suddenly the business is way more open to having those discussions because we hit the wall so hard.
Yeah, and we need quick solutions here.
We've all worked with the project managers who say this data absolutely must be in real time. You know, our dashboard has to show the last 10 seconds worth of orders. And now suddenly they're like, hey, you know what? The data could be 4 hours stale.
Yeah.
That's actually, as it turns out, kind of okay.
You know, as long as I get a summary each day close enough.
Yeah.
But I think it's also interesting from a DBA perspective, when you pull out those popular queries and then also look at the time of which they happened and said, you know, this query ran 15,000 times in an hour and it returned exactly the same results every time.
Yeah.
You know, it does not change that fast.
The other way I love putting it in perspective is, so this query takes 100 milliseconds of CPU time. Mm-hmm. You know, so it takes one core 100 milliseconds. Now that doesn't sound like much, but you can only run that query 10 times a second per core. And so you say you've got a 32-core box, that's still only 320 times a second you can run that query, and our server is at 100% CPU, and we have no, you know, alternative with that.
And that was one of the queries. There were other things going on.
Yeah. And nobody ever cared about 100 milliseconds before.
Yeah.
It just wasn't on the radar. So now suddenly when you divide out the time by how much CPU each query took, that has been a huge eye-opener for, you know, it would cost us $7,000 a core on Enterprise Edition to add a few more cores to handle this query, or we could cache it.
Yeah, with a piece of software that's open source, literally free, and well-known.
If you're in the cloud, they'll host it for you.
Yeah.
Azure will host it, Google will host it, Amazon will host it. It's a service. You don't even have to know how it works. You can just spin it up quickly.
Turn it on.
I think there's also interesting that what people don't see coming is what's going to happen in the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months as business changes again.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go through this exact same shifting gears. One of my clients, I was talking about scheduling janitorial services, and they're like, we know that as people start to go into offices, there's going to be this massive, hey, can you come through and clean things up?
Yeah.
Plumber scheduling, you know, removing furniture around, because how are we going to handle the open cube situation. I should ask you about that too. So have you heard of anybody who's saying we're going to have to change our open floor plan situation now that we're coming back?
Absolutely. Yeah. The conversation, and they don't, you know, a lot of places, they don't have a schedule for coming back, but they are saying, hey, if we had to do 6 foot spacing for everyone being able to come and go, what would that look like? Because none of the passageways in a cube farm are wide enough.
Yeah.
Two people can't pass.
So yeah.
It's a relayout, huge conversation.
For all of you who work in IT who are listening to this, you should be high-fiving the end of the open cube area where we were all crammed in elbow to elbow. Yeah. This is two going to be your savior.
And even two people to a cube. Like, I've seen all of that. I worked on another pandemic series, and one of the folks I was chatting to were specifically in real estate talking about relaying out grocery stores and retail.
Yeah.
Same basic problem, and it, you know, hit me how much rethinking office utilization and the cost of that. I think part of the reason we're going to keep working from home is you now can't have as many people in the office as you used to. The space that you
have. Two words: call center.
When you talk about close.
It makes me cry. I have a client with a call center, a seasonal business with a call center, and they just said, okay, that's it. We're done. We're never doing cubes again. Everyone just has to work from home. That's the end of it. For years, that hasn't been the mentality for call centers, because you want to watch the workers, you want to have metrics up on a dashboard, you want to have quick meetings and talk with supervisors and all that. And that's over. It's just over. You couldn't financially afford to put together a call center with the right amount of spacing in there.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be very challenging to do. And we know the remote work thing can be done. It's just they've got to be good at it. And I'm doing entire shows just on how you're helping people get their remote workspace up to shape.
Mm-hmm.
Are you generally hearing the DBAs are going to work anyway? Like that? I keep putting up the sysadmin memes from from various apocalyptic movies. It's like, we're still going in.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it's been a remote work job for a long time anyway, just because it's hard to hire DBAs in a specific location. If you go, I need a DBA on site in Des Moines with 6 years of experience on transactional replication, you're probably not going to get it. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way.
It's too much of a specialty now.
Yeah, but the thing that I do see as a problem is sometimes people in the DBA role, they only think of you, it's kind of like systems administrators, they only think of you whenever things are on fire.
Oh, yeah. No, you never get an A in your job. If you do it perfectly, you get a C because nobody can tell. It's easy to get an F. Just turn a server off. Everybody notices that.
Yep. So I think there were a series of kind of public layoffs in on Twitter where folks got let go because they'd been doing a good job. Servers are working okay, and the business is shifting down gears for a while. We don't need you for a while. Maybe you'll be able to come back. Maybe we'll furlough you or whatever. And most of those people that I knew who'd gotten laid off were picked up again within a couple few weeks.
Right.
Because it's a tough time to hire DBAs at any given time. Mm-hmm. Somebody with experience, it's not so bad. The one of the things I think we do struggle with, though, is we do a really bad job of knowledge transfer. We tend to sit in our little ivory towers and go, no one could possibly do the same job as me. So if you do need to not be at work for a while, if you have a loved one who is suddenly needs to be taken care of, or you want to keep close eye on them, kids at school.
You've got someone going into quarantine and they need food and stuff, and they basically are isolated now.
Yes.
That's a job. Like you have a tough time doing anything else.
And even if you could, even if you had the time to do something else, you're not emotionally ready to do something else.
You really hit it, Brent. Everybody's productivity is impaired right now, and it's not because we're working from home. It's because we're distracted. It's hard.
Yes. Yes. Do you remember what 9/11 was like?
Yeah.
Like, I remember that, really clearly.
That week after?
Yes.
Did you just...
Yes.
I think I went and played pitch and putt for 3 days, and I don't like golf. But pitch and putt I can tolerate. It's at least not quite as... But it was literally some friends of mine saying, listen, I can't concentrate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not just sit in our bunkers, let's get outside. Now, even that would be tough because of the circumstances of the pandemic, but I totally appreciate that you just got to make a little room for some contemplation time.
And it was the same with me after 9/11. I remember I used to have a TV capture card inside my computer, and I would leave the news up the whole time I was working before 9/11. And as 9/11 hit, I just couldn't. I was like, okay, I got to yank the capture card out. I can't have this on all the time because it's not mindless anymore.
No.
Now suddenly it's very mindful.
Yeah.
And this is like a really slow moving 9/11 in the sense that there's always news, and it's a mix of good and it's a mix of bad. But if you want to watch it, it will not stop.
Well, and I think I've gotten into the habit just to be productive of I only read email at certain times of the day and certain topic areas. And I've had to do the news the same way. It's like I block out an hour each day to take in the current state of affairs. And I do it in a particular order that's sort of, you know, local, regional, national, international. So that you don't put too much time into it and don't allow it to absorb you.
Yeah. The same thing here. The schedule when I do that, it has to be in the mornings. Mm-hmm. I can't, after I leave work, I don't want to shift gears and go into the news because I'm going to be focused on that. I won't be able to sleep well.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I end up, at the end of the day, I disengage with the most brainless activity. You know, I'll watch really terrible television, Project Runway, Making the Cut, Survivor.
Really terrible. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Awful. And it'll just totally let me disconnect and go back to, you know, escapism, getting away from the things that we're on now. But if you're going to do that, I mean, like, I encourage the folks who work for me too as well, both Richie and Erica, I'm like, just take as much mental health time as you need.
Yeah.
But it can be tricky for database administrators if you're the only one who knows what you do.
Yeah.
And so I've been trying to encourage people, can you put together a one-page document? And I'm not talking about my employees as much as I'm talking about just people out in the public. Can you put together a one-page document that if you needed to take 2 or 3 days off, people could go through that one-page document and vaguely be able to keep up?
Right. Well, and just knowing where all the keys are.
Yes. Where the backups are.
Yeah. Where do the backups live? Where are the key passwords? Like, if I couldn't get a hold of you and I needed to log into this, what would I have to do?
Yeah.
You know, are you sure you have a second account for all of these things like that? And physical locks too. We had an IT fellow in a company I was dealing with whose car got stolen and burned.
Oof.
And the only set of keys to the data center were in the car.
Oh my God.
So we had good locks. Like replacing those keys was going to take a couple of weeks.
Oh,
it's like, so we had to break into our own building, which we had done a significant effort to make hard to do.
Oh, God. That ranks up there with things that you think will never happen. You know, no one's ever going to steal my car.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, when we're in sort of in a time like that. And Brent, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by the Humanitarian Toolbox. Humanitarian Toolbox builds open source software for disaster relief organizations. One of the leading projects called Already focuses on getting volunteers into the right place at the right time using cloud and mobile technology. HTBox builds and operates this and other applications on behalf of a variety of disaster response organizations, and they need your help. Go to htbox.org for more information or to make a tax-deductible donation. HTBox is a 501c3 U.S. registered charity. And we're back. This is Richard Campbell. I'm with Brent Ozar. This is Run As Radio and one of our pandemic episodes. I'd certainly appreciate I said this back on the very first show back in April. This is a time to be very sure that all your DR stuff is in order. We are fragile right now. And so do you know your restores work? Could you test them?
You know, and how much of that can you automate?
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing I talk to all the people all the time. One of my standard onboarding questions with clients is, when was the last time you tested a restore and how long did it take? And then that leads to a gradual question because everybody's always like, well, it was kind of a few months ago and I'm not really sure how long it took. It's not that now is necessarily the right time to drop everything and focus on building automation. Mm-hmm. But when you have spare time, it's a nice, less mindful thing to kind of take your work off, your mind off of your daily work to go, could I automate the testing of restores?
Yeah.
You know, can I get it? And I'm less worried about Having to do an emergency restore, I'm more worried about just what can I do to implement peace of mind right now? Because it's kind of hard to find peace of mind right now.
It's an interesting point. To do peace of mind work, to do that preventative work that is rarely urgent, but it's almost therapeutic, and you know it's beneficial to the company long term.
Yes. Boy, I don't know about you, but for me, patching is really therapeutic.
Yeah,
I need a brain. You know, I need a psychiatrist to examine why that is.
You're not alone, friend. I literally was chatting with an IT friend of mine who's still going into the office one day a week, but nobody else is there. And he says, dude, nothing's been as well patched in this history of this company as right now.
Yeah.
And you really struck me with this. It's not just that the machines aren't as busy and he hasn't got as many calls and he's got people working from home. It's therapeutic. It's something he feels good about.
It's like mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
I don't have a lawn. But I remember from mowing my parents' lawn that I would look at the grass in the beginning and then I would walk through. All I had to do was focus for half an hour, 45 minutes. And I would focus. I would do little lines. I would be at the end and I would have accomplished a task. And the world was a little bit better for that little task that I had just accomplished. Absolutely. And patching's the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely part of it. And feeling like you, when the world seems a little crazy right now, that your corner of the world's been improved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
We've been kind of weird too as database administrators. We've always been kind of paranoid that, you know, is the data backed up? Are things secure? Where's the personally identifiable data at? And now's your time to go start finding answers to those questions. Mm-hmm. Take your mind off the bigger emergency and go, all right, what can I do to be better prepared for the thing that comes next? Because we all get distracted by looking at how's the supply chain doing? You know, what's going to happen with schools? What's the next thing that's going to happen with our business? You know, and just as this virus struck us from out of nowhere, we'll have data center problems that strike us out of nowhere, staffing issues that strike us out of nowhere. Like this is going to be a time of unpredictable things, and now's the time to do that peace of mind work so that when the next inevitable thing happens that we didn't see coming, we'll just feel better.
Yeah, maybe this is a time of black swans.
It is. Look at
one begets another.
At what when Microsoft Teams, the capacity or the demand just skyrocketed, and I have friends of mine in England and the EU who go, we can't turn on Azure SQL DBs right now.
Oh my goodness.
Because there's so much capacity problem, you know, because Microsoft has just not only taken capacity for their own stuff, but also because so many Azure clients were taking up stuff out of nowhere in the cloud. That it's not like Microsoft is immune from everybody all of a sudden wanting to do things in the cloud either. That for some of these guys was a real black swan event to go, what do you mean I can't turn something on? The cloud's supposed to be limitless.
Right. The whole point of the cloud was this sort of sense of unlimitlessness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've hit the same stuff in AWS where I've gone, okay, there's going to be this particular VM machine type in this particular region. And oh, no, not today.
Yeah.
Not quite available today. So it's the more you start to explore the things that what would you do if you couldn't do the things that you depended on, and how can you do peace of mind? I don't want to say busy work, but just zenful prep work to be ready and that feel more confident as you move through the day.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's very, very interesting that this is not only necessary, but somewhat enjoyable as well.
Oh, just, the patching and mowing lawns. Mm-hmm. If you need me, I'll be over here mowing lawns and patching.
doing a little doing the gardening, the weeding of your workspace, I think is really the kind of the spot that we're at.
It's also tricky. I hear a lot of people saying you should use this time to learn to better yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have a real hard time with that right now. I feel like I want to, you know, like when we were in Iceland for a month, I brought a whole bunch of Visual Studio stuff with me because I'm like, this is going to be the year where I learn to compile a C# app that queries the database and I can demo problems like implicit conversion easier.
Right.
But could I focus for a long period of time? No, I had a really hard time with that.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that learning new things might be more of a struggle.
Yeah.
Versus doing the things you always meant to do in your profession.
Yes.
The more preventative I always use Stephen Covey terms, right? The quadrant two stuff.
Oh, what's quadrant two?
It's his time management strategy. So quadrant one is the crises, the immediate, you know, the house is on fire, like those kinds of things, which obviously they always take priority. And then quadrant two are the important things, but not pressing, as opposed to quadrant three that are the unimportant but pressing things.
Gotcha.
And it's easy to get into this sort of pressing, proximate, popular, that's easy to get trapped in, as opposed to the sort of quieter insurance kind of preparation thing. Mm-hmm.
That gets you out of a hole long term. You know, if you can be a little bit more proactive and move forward.
Well, it's that sort of thing of any time that you have a moment when you're not in the pounding surf, you do a bit of that preventative work and it makes the crises diminish over time, right? That you sort of eat away at the problem.
Oh, yeah. Me with my terrible TV, I equate it back to there was a great TV show I used to watch, Dual Survival, and it was two people. It was usually like a hippie and then a former armed forces member, and they would have totally different approaches as to how they would react when they're both dropped off together on a desert island in a rainforest, whatever. But one of the things that I always saw the armed forces people doing is anytime they had an idle moment, they would try to improve their situation.
Right.
I'm like, wow, I remember taking that away, that every day if I can make my situation just a little bit better somehow, you know, it's going to snowball and make things better long term.
Yeah.
The other thing I love taking away from it is there was a guy, Joe Tedai, on there who always used a line, move with a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to go get something done or you're on your way somewhere, move with a purpose. And he would usually say it in kind of an angry way because he wanted somebody to get out of his way and start hustling. Yeah. But I loved that line, move with a purpose.
Yeah, go know where you're going.
Yes. Get from point A to point B. Yeah, sure. Stop and smell the roses. But, you know, you have a purpose when you're trying to get somewhere.
Yeah. And there are things that can be done, and they don't have to be big things. Like they can be small things.
And that's all you should try and expect right now.
Sure.
That right now, just in terms of peace of mind, yes, we got to scale 10x, 100x, 1000x or whatever. But if you find a task that you can feel better about yourself when you finish, mm-hmm. go do those positive wins.
Right. And know that also pays some benefits further along the path. That if there is a new crisis that arrives and this preventative work has been done, you're able to compensate for it more quickly. But I do think that part of our sort of positive future look is that we're doing prep work that represents benefits for a post-pandemic world.
Your own skills are a big thing in there too. Like you need to be prepping your own skills for what happens after the pandemic or as we start to recover. This is where the SQL Server community has always been so pay it forward. Right. You know, they've been so welcome and opening with teaching all kinds of folks. They never want to hide their light under a bushel basket. You know, they always want to pay it forward. And now in this time when we're all stuck inside, you've really seen it erupt online, that there are so many people trying to do free presentations online, reaching out to each other, having all kinds of discussions on Twitter. There are so many free online conferences now, groupby.org, dataweekender.com, SQL Saturdays going online, people streaming. That's awesome to see for the first time.
And people experimenting. My last scheduled in-person talk was a SQL Saturday.
Oh, really? Oh, where? When and where?
I was coming. This was the SQL Saturday in Victoria. And, and of course, they're not far from me, although I have to take a ferry there. So it's a little bit distance. But my father lives on the island. So the organizers know you can get me to come because I'll go spend some time with my father. Like I'm not hard to persuade. But my flights ended up being delayed. And so by the time I got home, I wasn't going to be able to get over that night to be there in time for the morning. So I said, well, let's just do it remotely. At least I was just doing a sort of state of the industry kind of conversation, which in hindsight is ridiculous because the next few days later, everything was locked down, right?
Everything changed.
Everything changed. But I did it remote on a basic remote rig, unable to hear the audience, which is tough. But you know, you do the best you can. And of course, we've improved all of that since. And since then, there are many events that I had, you know, scheduled to do in person, but then have flipped over to online only and gotten better at having the right rig and the way to present and to make the connection with the audience as best you can.
You and I both been presenting for a really long time, yes, too. And the ease of presenting in person is so much easier than doing it remotely. For folks who are thinking about presenting for the first time, it's kind of a double-edged sword when you present remotely. Mm-hmm. If you bomb, it's not as bad as bombing in person. You know, in person, you see the eyes.
Yeah, there's that. And if it's a room full of people, builds a lot of tension for a lot of folks, too.
Sure.
So the fact that maybe just looking at a camera is easier on you, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nobody actually dies in a failed presentation. You know, the confidence comes from having already done a terrible presentation and disappointed people and living through it. That you get to a point where you're just not that anxious about it anymore. You still try and do a good job. But I wonder if it won't be easier for more folks to try these remote presentations that everyone's so interested in right now.
And the flip of it is even when you do well, you feel like you bomb. Oh. You know, because
you're always your own worst critic, right?
Yes. You all you feel is, oh, these things that I messed up, when in reality the folks on the other side of the screen are just so thankful to have interactions and connections and shared learning during a time like this that everyone's just devouring whatever they can get. It's the same thing with the podcast. I mean, I'm sure I bet the podcast metrics are going up like crazy because people need that, you know, discussion and connection with folks.
Absolutely. Demand for podcasts has gone through the roof, and there are way worse problems in my world than that. And happy to make them. You just got to try and focus on the top subjects that matter to folks and get in the right places. We finally, this is the first show I've recorded since I got it fixed. I got Run As on Spotify.
Oh, good. Oh, very cool. Congratulations.
That's how people seem to want it. It was way more difficult than necessary. Most of it has to do with the fact that we're an old podcast, you know, first show in 2007. And so a lot of hand-built stuff from those eras. And I'm still trying to shake off the cruft of sort of, hey, there are new tools, there are new ways, and try and move Run As into the future. It's one of the things on my maintenance list of things to do while we're home here is it's time to shift to a new provider and to put some other mechanisms in place and modernize Run As some more. So
the feel-good tasks, the patching, the mowing the lawn.
Stuff you always meant to do. That and I think retiring my own Exchange server, but that's a separate subject.
Oh my gosh, what year is this?
You know why I liked running Exchange server, Brent? Because I could look an Exchange administrator in the eye and say, I feel your pain.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. I don't need to feel that pain anymore.
Yeah. You know what? I'm ready to not feel that pain anymore.
Yes, I retired my last home server, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, and all of a sudden I went, oh, there's no noise here, and my electricity bill is lower. You know, how's this happening?
Not getting busted as a grow-op anymore? How about that? I have a nice soundproof rack system closet in the back there, and that won't go away per se because we're all home run to it, but I definitely want to take some of those workloads out of there and move them to the cloud. So that's also on the list, but I think I'll modernize Run As first.
And I'm amazed by it. I want to say it was Satya that I saw that had said that there was 2 years worth of cloud modernization done in the last 2 months just because everybody had to make these radical changes. And I thought, well, if there's a silver lining to this, then that's what it is. If it gets us more adaptable, more flexible, less elbow to elbow in bad cubes, more managers open to the thought of telecommuting, it's really hard to find silver linings in times like this, but I'll take what I can get.
Well, and they're definitely there. You know, if nothing more than just sitting, you know, on the back deck in the sunshine going, wow, I have a beautiful backyard. I should spend more time here.
Yes.
I think we're very wired right now to appreciate the things that we've got. And if you're working in this industry, many of us are actually busy trying to help and to do more. You know, it's what a luxury. How fortunate are we to not be idled?
It really is. So many family members who are work in person jobs, you know, and it just simply isn't an option. So it's the curses and blessings of this situation.
Without a doubt. Brent, thanks so much for taking time out of what I know is a frantic schedule to chat with us a bit.
My pleasure, sir. It's always an absolute delight to talk to you.
And I do hope we get to be face-to-face sometime in the future.
Agreed. I look forward to giving you a big old hug.
One of these days. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Brent Ozar, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.